This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 63, a review of the Color Monkey and the i1 Extreme. Hey there, photo lovers, and welcome to the 63rd Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's podcast, I'm going to do a review of the Color Monkey and the i1 Extreme, and these are monitor profiling devices and printer profiling devices, and the i1 can do a little bit more than that as well, and I'm going to talk about that shortly. But if you're new to this concept of calibrating your monitor and why we need to do it, and you found this podcast out of sequence, I highly recommend you go back to our last podcast, number 62, where we really discussed and delved into a bit of depth about monitor profiling and printer profiling and why we need to do it. And we had an expert, Joe Brady, do an interview with us and explain it all. And it was indeed a really good podcast. So I recommend you take a listen if you're not familiar. Before we actually get into the review, though, I'd like to thank Stephen K., Benny, and Lovin, who left comments on our last podcast telling us it was of use to them, and it's greatly appreciated. Okay, so let's just get right into the review right away. And at the end of the review, Joe Brady from our last podcast will help us understand the printer dialog boxes that need to be checked and unchecked when we do our printer profiling. And it's really, really important. And if you don't do it, it'll muck everything up. So we have the benefit of Joe's expertise again. And he really goes into detail about those printer dialog boxes. And he does a really good job explaining it. Okay, so let's just start with the review. So let me just start off by saying that both devices that I tested are really good. Really, really good. And I'm happy that they're really, really good. And the i1 may have some slight advantages, but the Color Monkey is really, really good and it's considerably cheaper. Let's start off with the Color Monkey first. So the Color Monkey is a device that measures the colors on your monitor. And it also measures the colors that come out of your printer. And especially people that want to print their stuff in their homes or home offices, this device is just excellent for that. And photography is just such a wide discipline. There's so many types of photography, wedding photography, sports photography, fashion photography, fine art photography. But if indeed we are printing in our homes or home offices, often we also want to have full control over the print. And when the print comes out of our printer, as Joe mentioned the last podcast, and we're going to talk about it when we do his interview in the middle of this, you know, if you're not calibrating properly, you're not going to have good results. Papers change, inks change, the print heads change, printers change. There's a lot of variables that can muck up how your print is going to look when it comes out of your printer. So as a fine art photographer, I was interested in having my monitor and my printer look as close as possible, and the Color Monkey does a great job at this. I should tell you ahead of time before I forget that I'm going to put a bunch of links in the show notes, and some of them are video links, so I'm discussing this and I'm giving you my review, but if you want to look at some links on how to use these products, I recommend that you do. It does make it easier a little, and the links are going to go in the show notes. Okay, back to the printer and fine art photography. So there's a lot of great papers these days, fine art papers and papers that come from, you know, the larger manufacturers. And when you want to use these different papers, they all accept ink differently, they all reflect ink differently, and they all have to be calibrated independently. So by calibrating the individual papers and the individual inks that come out of your printer, the next time you use that similar paper, you're going to get consistency. As opposed to not doing this, and I don't have much hair left, but if you have hair left, you will be pulling it out if you don't use one of these profiles because there's so much room for error, and these tools take out the vast majority of variables that are going to muck things up. So basically, in a nutshell, with both the i1 and the Color Monkey, we're talking about the Color Monkey now, you basically have this hardware device that sits on your screen, and it measures the colors that your monitor puts out and adjusts them accordingly to known values. As Joe mentioned last podcast, the majority of photographers are not using good screens for photography. They're just not. Most photographers, myself included, that's going to change soon, but most photographers, myself included, right now, today, are using monitors that were designed to do many, many things, including gaming. And when we use our monitors for gaming, we like nice, bright colors. And this does not work at all for for photo editing and for looking at photos and photo calibration. And one of the things that you're going to notice after calibration is that your screen will get dimmer. It's because your average monitor is artificially bright and you need to have your screen a bit dimmer in order to properly match the colors that come off your monitor and the colors that come out of your printer. So that'll be the first thing that you'll notice. So no, after calibration, your screen will look different. It may take your eyes a little bit of time to get used to, but it's accurate, and know that it will be dimmer. So the Color Monkey comes with a spectrophotometer, which is just a fancy name for the instrument that you put onto your monitor itself and it reads color. And the actual hardware device comes in an interesting pouch, so if you drop it or you hit it against something, it won't get damaged. And basically it has some Velcro straps that are attached to the device, and those Velcro straps act as a counterweight. So those Velcro straps basically hang on the backside of your monitor while the actual device sits on the front of your monitor and measures the colors that are coming from your screen. You'll obviously have to put the Color Monkey software in Pewter before you do this, but once you do, you could start the test very easily, and it will test the colors on your monitor and profile them accordingly. So just so everyone knows, I did multiple variations, combinations, and permutations with regard to profiling the monitors. And with the Color Monkey, you can work in two modes. You can work on like an easy mode and an advanced mode. And the easy mode doesn't take luminance and brightness into account, and it's recommended that you do take those into account. I should tell you straight up that on one of my monitors, I couldn't adjust the monitor accordingly. Like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, most monitors are not made for photo editing, or they're made to be multi-purpose. And one of the monitors that I tried, I couldn't get it to work in advanced mode. Once I did my test with the Color Monkey, it did give me far better colors than I had originally. And there's a before and there's an after tab, so you can see the drastic difference after you calibrate your monitor. But on one of my monitors, I was not able to calibrate in advanced mode, and I thought you should know that. That was only on one out of the three monitors. Like I said, even on basic mode, it gave a really good calibration once it was all said and done, and it was very pleasing to my eye. And then on the other monitor, on the other two monitors rather, I was able to use the advanced mode, and again, my color profiles were really, really good, and far better than before I had done the calibration. Really, the results are really dramatic, especially once you're done, because you have this before and after button and you just click it back and forth and you're like, oh my God, how was I viewing my color? As Joe mentioned last week, your eyes are so adept at color correction that you often won't even notice this if you're doing prolonged editing. But if you hit a before and after tab, you can really see the results. So I gotta say, you just follow the prompts that occur on the screen, and the prompts are pretty well defined. They're pretty user-friendly, and I had no problems using the device at all. In terms of the length of time it takes to profile the monitors or calibrate them with the Color Monkey device, we're only talking a few minutes. So, you know, just getting used to it, maybe you want to follow the prompts really carefully, but, you know, 5 to 10 minutes and your profile is set. And if you have dual monitors, the Color Monkey has no problem with that as well. I have dual monitors, fortunate enough, really useful to keep one palette on the left side and the image on the right in graphics programs, etc. And the Color Monkey can handle that really, really easily. And it clearly says display one, display two. Really good. Really, really good, I must say. Once you get the correct monitor profile, then you're going to want to calibrate your printer. Again, for the purposes of this podcast, I really wanted to review both monitor and printer devices, devices that can do both. And although there's a lot of hardware devices that can calibrate your monitor, there aren't that many that can do the monitor and the printer. And that's why I wanted to review these two products in particular. If you just need it for your monitor, it will do an excellent job, but I wanted to use it for both. So in order to profile the printer, basically what you're going to do is you're going to print out a test sheet and using the paper of your choice. And once you do that, you're going to let the paper dry. Very, 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 very crucial point. Let that paper dry. In fact, within the Color Monkey system, it makes you wait 10 minutes. Of course, you can skip that 10-minute wait. Don't do it. Do not do it. You want to let that paper dry because the inks look differently once they're dry as opposed to when they are drying. And that's an incredibly important tip. You can look at the paper that nobody reads that comes with printing papers, be they any type of fine art paper. They all have like an info sheet. And on that sheet, it says how long you need to wait before the paper dries. I highly recommend you increase that time a little bit. And although it's a pain in the butt because we all want things yesterday, you're going through a fair amount of work here and you want things to be calibrated as tight as possible. So let the paper dry more than 10 minutes. I let each of the papers dry for over an hour. Some papers say let them dry 24 hours, but for me, I found very good results after 1 hour. So basically, once the printer spits out this test chart, you wait until that test chart dries, and then you use that same hardware device that you used on your screen to measure the color patches on the paper. The hardware device compares the actual colors that are printed on your paper, and it compares that with known values, and then it makes adjustments, sends it back into the computer, and it has the printer print a second sheet. And that second sheet is like a refinement on the colors. And then you have to wait until that sheet dries. So you have to wait until that second sheet dries. Then you need to remeasure it using that hardware device again. And then you have your printer profile. Once you've done that, you have a printer profile. And then every time you use that paper, you can just use that profile and it should get you really close to what you're seeing on your monitor. And that's really it. I mean, the process is really, once you've done it a few times, it's pretty easy. You know, it's not difficult at all. It's just a matter of going through the steps once, and then every time you do it, it becomes, you know, more and more fluid, and it'll take, you know, one less minute or, you know, a minute and a half faster each successive time that you do it. You can prompt the Color Monkey to send you a message to calibrate your monitors, let's say once a week, once every second week. I set mine at once a week. I think that's reasonable. And you will need, as Joe mentioned in our previous podcast, you will need to calibrate your monitor regularly because it does go out of whack, especially the cheaper monitors. Another tip is you want to have your monitor on for at least a half hour or 45 minutes before you start the color calibration. Because again, as the monitor warms up, its color changes. So you really want consistency with every monitor, with every paper, with every printer you profile. And once you have that consistency, you can get rid of variables that are going to muck things up. If you don't have consistency, there's just too many variables and you'll never know what mucked you up. But I have to say, so far with the system, really good to use and fairly easy. I did have three little points that I wanted to mention, or my three cons in quotation marks, let's say. You should know that the Color Monkey system will only calibrate three monitors. So if you have a laptop and two screens, there you go. Those are the three monitors it will profile, and you can't profile a fourth. I would have also liked to have seen a little bit better documentation, to be honest. The documentation on screen is really good and well thought out. But it would be nice to have a bigger manual, a thicker manual that came with it. It's a pretty small manual. I think it's under 20 pages. It would have been nice to have had a little bit of a bigger manual. And lastly, the software doesn't actually come with the device. You have to download the software from the internet. I think I would have liked to have seen the actual disc come with the product. But those three nits or cons are really small relative to the great results that I got off this system. And I should also tell you before I conclude the Color Monkey review is that it also calibrates projectors. So if you're doing a presentation and you're showing images, your projector will need to be calibrated as well. I did not use the Color Monkey for that need, but the Color Monkey can be well used for that need and it's well suited to that purpose. And I just took a look at some random reviews and it does seem to hold up in that regard, though I did not personally test it. You should also know that the Color Monkey comes with phone support. Both the Color Monkey and the i1 come with phone support. I was lucky enough to have had access to the text directly, but one of my key questions, because there's so much room for error here, do the fees include phone support? And indeed they do. And I read reviews online and that phone support is getting good reviews on the net. So it's hard really to complain at all about this product. If I had to rate it 1 to 10, I might well give it an 8 or an 8.5, and I really liked it, and it comes recommended. Okay, let's move on to the i1 Extreme. And the i1 Extreme is excellent. I really love the Color Monkey, but I like the i1 Extreme just that much more. That said, the Color Monkey is about $420, $430, $440, depending on where you buy it, and the i1 Pro or the i1 Extreme is $1,500. So it's considerably more expensive. What that $1,500 gets you, though, is the ability to adjust the monitor, the printer, the scanner, the projector, and the camera. So you can calibrate more devices with this, and there's no limit on the amount of monitors that you can calibrate. So I would suggest that maybe the i1 Extreme or the i1 Pro, I'm not sure what name they're using, but it's $1,500. You'll find it really easily. I would suggest that that package might be more suitable for a small office with multiple monitors or a large office with multiple monitors. The Color Monkey is perfect for home use. You know, you just have a couple of monitors to calibrate. But if you have like a work crew of many people with many monitors, the Color Monkey may not do it for you because it can only calibrate three of them. The i1 can calibrate all of them. And the spectrophotometer of the i1, it's just a little more solid than the Color Monkey. Don't get me wrong, the Color Monkey is really good, but the i1 spectrophotometer just feels a little heavier, feels a little more refined. And it actually is. I mean, you do pay what you get for, most people say. And it just was a fantastic thing to use. It was a pleasure to use. And similar to the Color Monkey, there's an advanced mode and a basic mode. Unlike the Color Monkey, I was able to calibrate all three monitors in the advanced mode, which is the recommended mode. Once you're spending a few $100 on these things to $1,500 on these things, go advanced over basic. You will see some, you know, slight improvement in some cases and large improvement in other cases. With the i1, you can also take the reading under different ambient lights. You can actually measure the ambient light, and that's another advantage. But aside from that, it works in a pretty similar way. You put this spectrophotometer on your screen. It measures your monitor versus known values, and then it calibrates your monitor. It changes the way your monitor looks. Again, going head to head on the two, I should say that I found the i1 to be slightly more accurate with regard to what came out of my printer versus what I saw on screen, but we're talking negligible. I would say, if I had to guess and be precise, 7-8% better, maybe 5-6% better. I guess that says how good the Color Monkey is and how good the i1 is. I did prefer the i1, but then again, there's a $1,000 difference. So it works in the same way, except that when you get to the printer part of it, you don't have to print two sheets. You only print one. I should say that the squares that come out of the printer that you have to measure, there's more of them in the i1 than there is in the Color Monkey. And that, again, may give it that slight performance advantage over the Color Monkey. But in essence, it's a very similar tool used in very similar ways. Again, I should tell you that even though this has the ability to calibrate a scanner, monitor, and projector, for my use, I just calibrated the printer and the monitor. To be honest, I'm not sure why people would calibrate their camera. I could certainly see why they'd calibrate their scanner and their projector. Maybe for mission critical work where the client wants an exact match of the color, maybe then you might want to calibrate your camera. But aside from that, personally, I don't know any photographers that calibrate their camera, but I guess some do for mission critical work. Either way, at the end of the day, if I had to rate the i1, I might give the i1, let's say, a 9.5 out of 10. It was so good. It was so good. I really loved it. So to recap, both these devices are excellent for profiling monitors and printers. They both did an excellent job. The i1 did a slightly better job, and I would not hesitate for one second to recommend either of these products. More links will go in the show notes to give people links to videos and things like that. But if you get these products and you're a home printer or you print at your home office, you will not be disappointed. There goes my review. Two thumbs up on both products, obviously. And we're going to listen now to a little conversation I had with Joe Brady, again, from our last podcast. Joe Brady is from Mac Group US, and they were so kind. They actually loaned me this equipment. So thanks again to Mac Group US. Now we're going to talk with Joe Brady about the dialog boxes before you print, which is going to save you major headaches if you listen to it. So it's coming up. It lasts about 12 minutes. And let's get right into it now. So I'd like to welcome back Joe Brady to our podcast. Joe's going to answer a quick question with regard to profiling your printer and what the settings should be and why they should be that way in Photoshop. So welcome back, Joe. Glad to have you back to answer these questions.
Thank you, Marco.
So I'm just curious. A lot of people have confusion. I know I myself had confusion. Can we go over the printer dialog box in Photoshop for a moment, if you don't mind?
Absolutely. This is the one place where people have most trouble. So it's important to get this part straight. And the first thing that has to be chosen, if you've never done this before, when you click print in Photoshop, under color handling, the default is printer manages colors, because that's where it starts out at. That will cause you no end of headaches if you're trying to create a profile. Photoshop must manage the colors, which is the second choice down. So choose that, and then it will stay there from then on. When you choose Photoshop Manages Colors, right below that is a little exclamation point that says, remember to disable color management in the printer dialog box.
Actually, Joe, can we back up for 10
sure.
seconds? Again, I just want to know, because I had the same confusion. I know other people might have it as well. Why are we choosing Photoshop Manages Colors if we're trying to get an independent measuring device and tool and put it all together independently? Why are we then letting Photoshop manage the colors?
Well, when we choose Photoshop Manages Colors, it's more a choice of, do we want Photoshop to do it or do we want the printer driver to do it? When Photoshop does it, Photoshop then takes the profiles that we've created and applies it to the image. And it's the only way to access them. If we leave the printer managing color, then the printer company adds its flavors, and that completely destroys the custom profile you've created.
Okay, and what if we do what I did a couple of times and did a lot of tests and got confused on my results, and I choose nobody manage the colors or don't manage color?
Right. If you choose no color management in the color handling option, and what happens is no profile is applied at all, and just the raw color data, sRGB or Adobe RGB, whatever color space you're in, gets sent to the printer, and then it's just a free-for-all.
Okay, and that bears my test as well. I did a number of tests, and I just mentioned this to Joe a few minutes ago, but I did a number of tests where Photoshop manages the colors as opposed to the printer managing the colors, as opposed to not having the colors managed, and by far the most accurate print, and it was quite good, that matched my monitor, is when Photoshop was controlling the colors.
Right, and so what Photoshop is doing is using the profiles we've created. So right underneath that choice is the printer profile. And this is where you select your printer profile for your paper. And this is the only place you can do that. If printer manages colors is chosen, you don't have that option. Now, below that is the rendering intent. And this is something else that confuses people. Rendering intent basically answers the question, what do I do with colors that are out of my printer's gamut? Meaning, what do I do with colors that my printer just can't print? Typically, they're too saturated. Like you have a lime green and you're sending out to a matte paper. It's obviously going to lose some of its intensity, so that color is going to move. And how that color moves is determined by the rendering intent. So for photography, there's only two of the four choices you're going to use. One is perceptual, and the other is relative colorimetric. So what they both do is move color that is out of gamut into gamut, but what they do with the other colors is what's different between the two. So for example, imagine you have a circle, and that is all the colors that your printer-paper combination is capable of printing. Yet your image has, say, one color that is out of that circle. Let's imagine it's right at 12 o'clock, just outside of the circle. What the rendering intent is going to do is determine, what am I going to do with this piece of color that's outside of the circle? If I choose perceptual, it will take that color and it will move it just within the circle, and any other colors that were in the way in that position then get moved. So what happens is the relationship between the colors is maintained, but some of the other colors will move along with that. And very few colors out of gamut can sometimes cause an overall shift over your entire image if you choose perceptual. However, that said, generally for portraits, I find that perceptual works best because it maintains that relationship between colors and it keeps smooth gradations going on. The other choice is relative colorimetric. What relative colorimetric does is takes that same color that's out of gamut, moves it into the circle as to the best point that it can calculate, but does not move any other colors. The advantage to that is only the colors that are out of gamut get moved, and none of the other colors in the image will change. That said, if you have a fair amount of colors that are out of gamut, and they get stuck kind of randomly back into the circle, that can throw off gradations. So all of a sudden you might have banding in a fine sky, or you have some artifacts that weren't there before. So when you go into soft proof in Photoshop, it's important to try both of those choices for your rendering intent and see which one looks better on the image based on your subjective judgment.
Is there a guideline as to when you would choose relative colorimetric?
Not really. But generally, I do find landscapes work better with relative colorimetric, and portraits work better with perceptual. But you get to choose them both, and that's where your own flavoring comes in.
I see. Okay. And then once that's done, there are no more real choices, so you just press print?
Choose print, and then it's important from this point on that all color management in the printer driver is turned off, because Photoshop is now taking care of applying the profile that we've created. So they're hidden in various different places. And unfortunately, it depends on the printer, and even the same manufacturer might have it hidden in different places.
And that's excellent to know. But again, it's key that once you determine this within Photoshop, you really have to dig into the tabs in any other printer dialog boxes that come up, because there might even be multiple places where the printer may try and take over. Is that right?
Exactly. For example, one of my favorite printers, I happen to have one in front of me, is an Epson R2880. It's got two different places where it needs to be turned off, and one of them might slip by. So the two places you look in the drop-down menus are under Print Settings and then Color Management. Well, Color Management's an obvious choice. You're going to go into Color Management and turn it off so that it says no color adjustment.
Right.
That was easy. However, Print Settings, if you leave the mode on automatic, it also applies a color. And you'll see it says the default is Epson Standard sRGB. You need to go to Advanced, which turns that off and just brings up a print quality dialog box where you choose the DPI that you want to print.
And failure to do that mucks up all your hard work.
Exactly, because what happens is you then have two profiles, the Epson flavoring, fighting with the profile you've created, and they will cause unusual results at times.
Unusual results and no doubt lots of headaches.
Yes.
And I guess my final question, I guess, just to get really, really clear on it, just to go back again for a minute or so into that Photoshop dialog box, even before we choose, we can often choose document or proof. And I know it's a basic choice, but maybe...
document.
Okay.
Document is what you always want to choose. If we're going back to the print dialog box, one other thing to mention. On the left-hand side of the print dialog box is a preview of the image. And underneath that, it says match print colors. That is only for that preview. It has nothing to do with the actual printing. So it can be on or off. It's not going to have any effect on the print.
And I got to tell you, I'm glad you said that because I forgot to mention it, and it bears fruit. I did multiple tests. I tried every combination of permutation. And indeed, one time I chose with that box checked and one time not, and the results were identical.
Yes, it's only for the preview. It has nothing to do with your print.
Again, backing track, when you choose document, you have the ability to choose different color spaces.
Well, that's built into the image. It's telling you what color space the document contains.
Okay, so there's no choice there.
It's just letting you know this image was worked on in the Adobe RGB color space, and that's the embedded profile in the document.
When would anyone want to choose proof instead of document? And if you think the answer is never, feel free to say.
I would probably say never. What happens if you go to proof is that it's going to actually convert the data in the file, which is generally not a good idea.
Okay.
So stick with document.
Okay, cool. And before we end, Joe, this is a really quick one, but I just wanted to ask you if you have anything to add that people may overlook.
Yes, there's one little final piece of the puzzle that most people do overlook, and it is extremely critical when dealing with inkjet prints. And that is, what light source are you then viewing your prints with?
Right. And we talked about this in the introduction, but again, it's very important, obviously, to look at the resulting print in the same type of light as it was proofed on in your monitor, meaning under...
Well, your monitor, when you've proofed in Photoshop,
Photoshop
assumes in its soft proof that you were then viewing your print under daylight lights.
Right.
And that's how the proof is presented to you on the screen. So if you do not have daylight tubes, or ideally a viewing booth would be the best, the second choice would be a continuous spectrum light source, and there are various companies that make those. And then the third choice would be to go to your local home center and get yourself some full spectrum daylight fluorescent tubes.
Because again, as many photographers already know, regular fluorescent tubes have a greenish cast. If you're going to look at your hard work under a greenish cast, you're not going to see the same thing as you did when you looked at your monitor.
Exactly. And you can't see that green spike in there because your eyes adapt to it. But your prints, if they are looked at under standard fluorescent tubes, green will kill all the magentas and reds.
And again, you just want to see the accuracy throughout all the steps of, you know, from beginning to end. This takes, you know, especially the first time people use it, it takes a little bit of time investment to figure it all out. And then at the end of the day, if you're looking at it under the wrong light source, you may not even understand why, but it'll totally muck up the results.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks so much for that, Joe. Really appreciate it. And maybe we'll speak to you again soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
And so I'd like to thank Joe Brady one last time for that extra information on using the printer dialog boxes properly so that we get what we want to get and we don't have to pull our hair out. I'd also like to thank Mac Group US for loaning me this equipment. Very, very gracious of them. And I know it will be of great benefit to the visitors that come to our site that want to be in control of their process, whether they're in a home or a home office. If you like this podcast and you want to get it automatically, then the easiest way is just to use any of the subscribe links on the front page of the blog, photography.ca/blog. If you want to send me anything directly, just feel free to email me, photography.ca@gmail.com. Our forum is getting busier and busier, and I do encourage people to check it out. Many more interesting threads, provocative threads, not just photography, provocative threads as well, off-topic threads. It's becoming quite a really nice and tight-knit community, and everyone is invited to join. As long as you're friendly, you're welcome. And I'd like to say I take pride that our community is so friendly. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. As always, it's much warmer outside, so now's the time to get out there and take pictures of portraits, melting ice, whatever you like. Just get out there, take your camera with you, and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.